the issues that we have, you certainly are welcome to do so. Just let us know by raising your hand at the appropriate time, and we'll ask you to come up to the mic and just give us your name. That's all you have to do. And if you would, try to keep your conversation to 5 minutes so that we can move on through the agenda. If you can do that, we appreciate it. As we begin, we'll have council prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance.
Our eternal God and Father, we come to you today with thanksgiving in our hearts for all the many blessings that you've given to each one of us. We come to you thanking you for your love that you allow to flow through us to others. We thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, for your grace that you show toward us. We thank you for allowing us the opportunity to live in such a wonderful city as Aiken. We thank you for our citizens who are concerned. We thank you for our citizens who always step forward and volunteer and give of their times and efforts to make this a better place in which to live. We pray that you'll be with City Council tonight as we debate these issues. Give us clearness of thought. Help us to do this in a way that would honor and glorify you, and help us to make the decisions that would continue to help Aiken be the wonderful city in which it is. Watch over, protect everything that's done in here tonight. We'll be careful to give you the praise for all that is accomplished. We ask these things in your name. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Are there any additions or deletions necessary to the agenda this evening? If not, do we have a motion and second to approve the agenda as is?
Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve the agenda as printed.
I'll second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Minutes. Consideration of the minutes of the October 24th, 2011 regular meeting. Any discussion necessary there?
As much as I appreciate Zipper Robbins, unfortunately he was not my appointee. Somebody else appointed him, but it's reflected that I nominated him.
Okay, who was that?
I recommended the reappointment.
Okay, so it was Don instead of Steve?
I believe so. He was, right?
Okay. All right, very good. Have that change.
Two things. One of the things on page 22, on the when we accepted the Woodside, excuse me, the 22 is yes. There's. Let me go to those next ones. On page 28 of the notes, I asked for the inspection to be included in that, and it didn't get done. So I've got that to give to the city clerk. If you'd put that after page 22, please. And then back on page 22, we discussed the railroad depot. There were some comments made about what the county council had made, and I would like to include that as part of the minutes, the actual minutes from the county council meeting of April 2nd of 2008. I think that's important because some of the words we used were not exactly what was in that memo from them, and I got it from Clay Killiam.
Okay.
I'd like to include that into the minutes.
Okay. Anything else? If not, do we have a motion then to accept the motion and second as amended?
So moved.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Show of hands, please. All in favor. Passes unanimously. the presentations. We have one this evening, a presentation about the Interactive Center and Management Work Plan for the Price Avenue Hidden Bay of the Carolina Bay Nature Reserve. Mr. Pierce, please.
Mayor, thank you very much. We tried to provide a comprehensive set of materials in the agenda packet, and those have also been put on the website for the city for tonight so that it was available to the public. Council will remember that back in, late spring, early summer, there was an article in the local paper about the state of the Carolina Bay and some various conditions there, including some trash and just other items that were unsightly in the bay. And a cleanup day was scheduled, and out of that cleanup day, I received a communication from three local Girl Scouts who were interested in doing a project there, and council approved last summer their construction of some benches, birdhouses, butterfly boxes, and bat boxes, bat houses to put around the bay. And when we had met with the scouts in the Carolina Bay, we had an extensive discussion about the state of it, the management plan, and pass forward. At one time, you discussed an interpretive center for the Carolina Bay. Council actually voted on that, and that was contained in the second round of capital project sales tax monies that were approved back in 2004. In addition, the history behind the Carolina Bay, and again, we have a management plan that was signed, and it actually refers to the tract of the Carolina Bay Nature Reserve. In it, the city actually owned about 10 acres in this area of town. There was some discussion about potential development in the area, and citizens, as they have done so many times in the history of Aikens, stepped up and raised money so that an additional 14 acres could be purchased that was immediately adjacent to the 10 acres that we owned as part of our Virginia Acres Park playground and recreation area that includes the H.O. Weeks Recreation Center. That money was raised, the property was purchased, and then donated to the city. In turn, City Council unanimously approved by resolution the adoption of a management plan for that area. There are several key provisions in that management plan. It does talk about portions of the property being a passive recreation area, other areas being an active recreation area. And if you look in your package, you'll see where, in addition to talking about the natural habitat, the Aiken County Open Land Trust, which is now known as the Aiken Land Conservancy, talked about the different plant material that was around, including also invasive species that were non-native, that included Japanese privet, Japanese honeysuckle, mimosa. And in the management plan, and that is on page 44 of your agenda, it talks about these non-native plants needing to be removed. It talked about invasive cattails on the next page and those needing to be removed. Talked about the grass area on Price Avenue needing to continue to be mowed. Also, and significantly on page 45 of your agenda packet, which I think is page 5 of the management plan, it's page 45 in your packet, it talks about the fact that the pond itself may be developed to allow construction of a low-level observation deck for wildlife at the edge of the pond. The platform of this observation deck will be not more than 6 feet above the ground, may be roofed, and should be constructed of treated wood. It will be designed to blend in with the pond edge. As I stated earlier, in that second round of capital sales tax money, there was $100,000 set aside for the construction of this interpretive center at the Carolina Bay. There were several discussions about it. It was, again, approved by council. That went on the list. It was approved by county council, and the citizens did vote for this construction project in that amount to take place in this area of the city. As we did the cleanup, as we met with the Girl Scouts there, as we had staff out there, we had several key members in Aiken, very familiar with what constitutes native plant material. We saw this opportunity to finally bring to fruition the construction of this interpretive center at the Pond's Edge. Along the way, there had been some discussions, and you had received a memo from the previous city manager that in order to construct a boardwalk and like classrooms with laboratories, the boardwalk itself was going to be about $80,000. The construction of the building was estimated at about $300,000 and was a cinder block design and fairly institutional in its appearance with a campus around it. And as we talked about appropriate next steps at the Carolina Bay, we thought it would be better to incorporate a structure that was more like a structure that was at Finnessy Swamp. And I guess Ms. Rideout has stepped out. But if you look in your packet, there's a document that talks about a southern elevation, and it says a view from Price Avenue. And this is actually the design that we've come up with. And again, in keeping with the management plan, this is an observation deck that has a roof structure over the top of it. You'll see by the notation at the bottom of the page there, it's 5 feet 2 inches above grade. Ms. Ryder, can we pull up that southern elevation of the observation deck, please? The southern elevation of the observation deck, that view from Price Avenue, please. That's it. Is it possible for us to rotate that? Or? That's okay, Ms. Rideout. So anyway, that's the view as you actually walk in from Price Avenue. There is an existing parking lot there. We've tried to dress that up. Tim Coakley's crowd did a great job with that. And there's actually an existing path that takes you to the Carolina Bay, and it's immediately atop of a major storm drain, about a 72 inches layer. Oh, 4 feet? 4 feet. So it's 48 inch. I got a little too rosy in my estimate. 48-inch pipe that's there. And with this observation deck, there's no bulldozing necessary at all. You can see it's being designed to fit in with the existing trees that are there. And if you look on the drawing that's in your package, you'll see immediately below this post, there's kind of a dashed line ghost image of that post. We're actually going to auger holes in the ground to put the post in and set the foundation, and then the deck itself is floating. It actually attaches to those posts, which will go up and support the roof structure. And if you look at the next page, that's the west elevation, so that would be with your back to Two Notch Road is another angle of that. And the next page shows the north elevation, so that would be the actual view of how it would look from the Carolina Bay. And then the next page is the east elevation. You would have your back to Colony Drive if you looked at that elevation. Can we get through those, please? So these are the there aren't any steps to get onto. We have an accessible ramp. It's just a straight shot to go up and be on the deck. I think the capacity for it is about 30 people. It's very similar to a design that was installed at Finnessy Swamp, and we had conversations with staff over there. Also spoke with Gene Eidson from Clemson University, who helped us on the green infrastructure project. And these installations proved very popular. The Finnessy Swamp one is used consistently. We see it as a destination for field trips for schools. also for our local university campus as well as technical college campus, and for citizens to use, much like the picnic shelters we use in Virginia Acres Park. So that's the design of the structure. In tandem with the structure, we also looked at how to effectively manage the forest. And Ms. Rideout, could we go back to page 48, please? That's the aerial photo of the thing. Page 48, the aerial photo of the bay. If you'll see in on the left-hand side, and again, that is along Colony Drive, and then at the bottom of the aerial photo, Price Avenue, there's that dashed yellow line. Between the road and the dashed line is actually the area that we identified, again, through conversations with Aiken Land Conservancy and the woodsman from Hitchcock Woods is here tonight, Bennett Tucker. He was also with us this summer. And there was an opportunity there, as we saw, for some mechanized mulching of the understory. There are several reasons for that. One is a fire hazard consideration. The other is that several years ago, working with the ecology lab, we identified some native plant material to put in. And unfortunately, with the existing undergrowth, it has not received sufficient sunlight to grow at what we would expect at the rate at which we'd expect it to grow. Now, there's no plans to remove any trees in there. I mean, the only trees we'd remove are, and it's, again, this is under the management plan, would be trees that would be hazardous to the pathways or the folks that would be using it. We did have some problems with trees over on the two-notch side of the property, which is that eastern borderline. And those were actually laid down and left to rot. And again, that's in with the management plan. In addition to the consideration of the native plant material that is there, I've had several conversations with Chief Pete Fromer of Public Safety. And we have had some suspicious vehicles, suspicious persons. We've actually, unfortunately, had some folks that have robbed an adjacent check cashing place and used the woods as a getaway. And the reason for actually mechanically mulching this area, not the native plant material, but the invasive species, is also a matter of safety, so that our public safety officers will have a better line of sight from the roadways that are adjacent, better line of sight for folks that are using the woods. But you'll see the vast majority of this 24-acre tract are not going to be affected by this mechanical removal. Hitchcock Woods, many years ago, began a very successful controlled burn program. They had several areas of the forest that were very deep in pine straw leaves, just material ripe for a fire that could easily get out of hand. And these control burns, I think, have really brought Hitchcock Woods way ahead of its time and more in keeping with its original habitat, so much so that SC Trees recognized Hitchcock Woods Foundation 2 weeks ago with the Golden Acorn Award for their efforts. So we see an opportunity to partner with our friends at Hitchcock Woods, certainly continue our contractual obligations, but just working relationship with the Aiken Land Conservancy, and make sure that this city asset, which is a destination, which is a gem, is here for future generations. So we wanted, there's been a lot of information out in the public and in the media, and we wanted to take this opportunity to give council the extensive information that involves our project at the Carolina Bay, explain what we're doing. Again, we're doing forest management practices that are in line with what the management plan contemplates. That's the removal of invasive species and poison ivy. It was actually a little ironic when we were out with the scouts last summer, and we were talking about, you know, the work they were going to do. The scouts were standing in the poison ivy, so we had to kind of get them away from that. And again, it's to take the Carolina Bay just one step further so that it does become a destination and we have an amenity in place. We had an opportunity to talk with several representatives of the Land Conservancy last week, and a volunteer serving on that board directed the U.S. Forestry Service in Edgefield for many years and handled large tracts of land, and was very complimentary of this proposed observation deck, so that we have an opportunity, folks, to see the bay and have a gathering place and then go explore it. And as council will remember, in the parking lot and then immediately adjacent to the climbing wall in the Carolina Bay, we have some display boards, and we're going to update those displays. We'll certainly put out there the information that we presented here tonight together with the public comments we've received. And then also the scouts are going to put together a display so that other scouts that may want to come and earn a silver award or other merit badges would have an opportunity to also advance in their scouting career. Our review of this management plan shows, Mayor, that we have what really could be considered a contractual obligation to use appropriate practices there in this area. And there is no intent to damage the woods or change the character of the woods. It's more managing it so that we continue to have a destination for our citizens and for visitors as well.
Okay. Thank you, Richard, for going into detail there. I might add, back years ago, when a big piece of this property, as Richard had mentioned, was almost bought out, I will say, by a business, and groups came together to raise money, the city felt so endeared to it as well that the city spent $60,000 to help purchase that land. It was 3 years, $20,000 a year to help that. So I think it's wonderful that we have preserved that whole piece of property and now doing things good things for the bay itself. I know there are others who would like to speak, and if you would like to speak on this subject, pro or con, you may do so. And we can look over here on this side first. Anybody want to speak there? If not, we'll go over here. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, please. Just give us your name, if you will.
I'm Bob Prezagian. I live in the city of Aiken. And first of all, I want to say I'm opposed to this whole idea. And just listening, some of the rationale seems to be that if you build it, they will come, and that it's a destination. Well, it's a really small wetland. It's not going to attract ever a lot of people. The people who know about it already go there. They go there in small groups or singly. Anyone who wants to go in a group, a school, can easily assemble in a small group and be lectured or directed around this facility, this wetland, without the need of a viewing area. There are nice areas around this pond. You can walk around in about 10 minutes and you get nice views from every direction. Now, the idea that this thing isn't going to affect the pond at all, let me just say there will be one way that it will. When I'm on the opposite side of the pond, I will see this structure, and it will be an eyesore. No matter how much you do to make it look good, it's going to be an eyesore because it's not natural. It's going to remind me of people who can't stand to view a small tract of nature without putting something man-made up in front of it or next to it. Now, if this were a major river or something, that commanding view, a lot of people coming, that would be one thing. It isn't. It's a small, tucked away piece of wetland. I can't believe you're going to get almost anyone more coming to this except to walk up the stairs, take a quick look, walk back down again, and probably never go back again, except maybe for kids who will crawl on it, and maybe that's the main virtue of this. kids getting some exercise crawling on a viewing stand. So it's, the letter in the paper said it, paving paradise and putting up a parking lot. And this is such a small chunk of paradise, it's not worth the parking lot or the viewing area or anything. The comments about the city saving it are all wonderful. I'm glad the city did it. Why do we think that we haven't completely saved it? You can clean out the invasive species, that's fine. But to think that it's not quite complete because it's just water and trees and marsh and wildlife, and by God, we've got to make it better. Well, you don't. It won't be better for me. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Yeah. Anyone else?
Hi, Nick Ingalls, 911 Alfred Street. I just came here to figure out what's going on, because me and my daughter walk the area quite often, have picnics there quite often, and it is a wonderful site. People that know about it go there quite frequently, and it is kind of a little hidden gem of the city of Aiken. And I just wanted to make sure that whatever we do here is of minimal impact to the environment there. And plus the area here around the dotted lines, it wasn't exactly clear what was going to be mulched in the packets, but Richard Pierce explained it. It's just the areas bordering the roads, because that's really the only areas that need it, is on the areas of one side of the line. The vast majority of it doesn't need it. There's not a whole lot of undergrowth. You can walk around quite freely. When you're building a structure of such size, it leaves an area underneath it where things can collect, and for public safety reasons, people can hide underneath there for other reasons, but it might become an eyesore because things might get stuck underneath there, other trash and debris. As long as it's done in a way that people can easily get underneath there to clean it up if need be, or if it's not an area where someone can easily hide, that'd be one way to approach it, so it's open as much as possible. If I were going to do it, I wouldn't put the roof there. It'll you said, it'll just create an eyesore. A roof won't blend in well. You don't really need a roof in the area. There's not a whole lot of the canopy around the area is quite sufficient. You don't get a whole lot of sun down there, so that's one of my considerations. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let your daughter speak.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Nikki. Anyone else?
I'm Debbie Nix, 808 Woodward Street. Am I correct? Is it $100,000 to build the?
No, the $100,000 was the amount that was approved by the citizens. We're going to spend somewhere in the neighborhood of about $80,000 for the structure, and then we went to bid on the gyro tracking, which is the mulching around. And I think that totaled up in about $11,600. Does that sound right? And then we need some money to do the other maintenance work. We've done some work to the parking lot. We put in a new display board there at the parking lot at the entrance, that southern entrance to the Carolina Bay.
Okay, thank you. I, too, used to live around the Carolina Bay and used to walk, and it was enjoyable, although at the time there were plastic bottles and plastic bags floating. I agree. I think that it's wonderful just like it is. My concern is this, because as I read what you sent me, and thank you so much, Richard, for the packet that you sent. That was so helpful. It looks to me like it's not going to be, you cannot see it from the road. It's kind of tucked away where the actual structure will be. Is that correct?
It'll be at the edge of the bay, so that is some distance from where you actually step into the woods.
Okay. Well, my concern would be, particularly in the summertime, that will be a great nighttime hangout. So what I'm wondering, the teenagers will just love it. So what I'm wondering is, what will you do for security for this structure, or will it just be there?
The structure will be there. Of course, the climbing wall has been there, too. We anticipate treating this as we do all our recreation facilities that are closed from dusk to dawn. And, of course, public safety would patrol this as part of their daily beat,
okay.
As they do Hopeland's Rye Patch, the picnic shelters at Virginia Acres Park.
Okay, so, but there'll be no lighting on the structure?
I mean, that's something we can take a look at.
We'll certainly
consult with public safety about what their recommendations would be.
Okay.
We already have electricity in the Carolina Bay there at the climbing wall.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Debbie. Anyone else?
David Scott, I just wanted to weigh in sort of from the standpoint, I work as a wetlands ecologist, amphibian sort of person, spend a good bit of my day in isolated wetlands tromping around, and so most of what I might say pertains to both the value of this tract ecologically and also as an educational tract. I'll sort of reserve judgment on maybe the issue that everyone's most concerned about, and that is the structure. I'm not exactly sure what I think of that. But for the rest of the tract, what was mentioned in terms of the forest management, and Bob and Harry, you can correct me if I say something really stupid here, but I'd actually like to see in the near term a little bit more active forest management in order to create sort of a better condition for this entire upland tract, you know, 10, 15, 50 years down the road. So the idea of limiting the mulching and other activity to, you know, outside that yellow dashed line is in my view sort of a mistake. I think some of the interior could benefit from some relatively serious thinning, opening up the canopy. Again, the whole idea being to create in many ways a more natural environment that would have a much higher diversity of plant species, perhaps even some animal species, but certainly you could increase the diversity of plant species in that 14 acre upland tract and make it, you know, so ecologically, some might call that healthier, and it would also be a greater educational benefit. You know, I know teachers at both Millbrook Elementary and in South Aiken currently use this tract. They bring their classes over. They spend a lot of time tromping around, and one of the activities is they're looking at the plant diversity and having the kids identify plants. So from a management standpoint, if you want to achieve the objective of some period of time from now having a system that might be described as better ecologically than more active forest management might be something to consider in the short term. As far as, I'll just say one thing about the proposed structure, I'm not familiar with the Finnessy Swamp sighting of where they have their structure. When you start talking about putting treated wood in, especially in a wetland or particularly near an isolated wetland with no flow, I know they've changed the way they treat wood, but you know, it's a lot of arsenic and a lot of copper, at least there used to be. I don't know if it's still the case, that's the way they make it, and that can be actually fairly detrimental to some species that can't handle those metal loads. So something to, you know, I think there might be other ways to do that if it is perceived to be a problem.
And again, the reason for the treated wood is that's actually in the management plan. That's what it stated.
Yeah, but if it goes into the wetland,
well, I understand.
It will probably agree it's a bad thing to further contaminate the wetland. It already receives significant runoff of highway material.
There's nothing that says we have to use lumber that's been treated with copper and arsenic. I just treated lumber is quoted from the plan.
That's a good comment. We appreciate that knowledge there. Yeah. Jen?
Yeah. I'm Jan Smith on City of Aiken. I live on Dogwood Road, so the pond is kind of in my backyard. I go up and down that street all the time. Quite frankly, in my opinion, Aiken does not need another destination or a parking lot. It does not need a structure there. I think the management plan for maintaining it and the conservation issues in agreement with the ALC is fine. But it definitely would become an eyesore. I don't want to see it there. The pond is just fine the way it is. And I think you should just manage it and leave everything else alone. Thanks.
Thank you, Jen. Anyone else? Okay.
Harry.
My name is Harry Shealy, and I live on 704 South Boundary, and if you look at this, you'll find my name on the agreement. I signed it on behalf of the Aiken County Open Land Trust back in 2003, and all that's been said here is perfectly within the guidelines that we set. It's not anything that we didn't agree to in 2003 to have done. The structure is something that the city, I think, would like to do, and as much as I'd like to see things natural, I can also see the advantages on rainy days of bringing kids down there and having some place that they can find shelter. And I think it's not a bad idea, and I think it can be done well. And addressing your questions, David, at the meeting the other day, David Scott, who said about the arsenic compounds and the copper compounds in treated wood, I suggested that perhaps we look at using some of the new plastic wood because they use that in the Congaree Swamp, you know, for the boardwalks and stuff like that, which really has Coke bottles in it mostly, you know, recycled Coke bottles. So that's one possibility. But the design and all that, I think, you know, that's something y'all will have to do. But what you have proposed is within the guidelines. As far as the management, David, I couldn't agree with you more. It's really not a very good forest down there right now. But that's something that the management plan allows for. And I know that Richard has been talking with two of my good friends, Bennett Tucker and Bob McCartney, about this, who I have the utmost confidence in their opinions about these things. And the only reason they didn't talk to me last summer is I was out of town when they had the meeting. Otherwise, I'd have been right there with them. But I think that it does need to be managed. And the gyro tracking, which is a standard way to reduce the understory around the woods, will look really nice when they have completed it, I think. And I was glad to see, the limits of what they were going to do. And the rest of the forest, when they begin to do some other management activities, I'm sure they will consult with some of the local people. I was very instrumental in getting the management of Hitchcock Wood started years ago, and it was met with a lot of resistance from the board at the time. But I think that it's proven to be a good method of managing the woods. I can tell you that we have more wildlife down there than we had before we started managing it. We've had deer come into the woods. We have turkey sightings down there. I haven't seen them, but there's supposedly turkeys in the woods now. But what really thrills me is the fact that we now have bobwhite quail that is a result of our management activities, which is very unusual, because they pretty much have been extirpated from this region because I really think because of lack of good management techniques from a lot of places. But they're coming back into Hitchcock Woods. We also have a great deal more plant diversity down there than we used to as well, including the animals. So there are ways to manage the forest to make it much more productive and much more attractive, but I think what y'all are doing is within the guidelines of this document that I signed with you, Fred, in 2003.
That's right.
Right out there. So I'd just like to speak on, positively on behalf of what you're proposing tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Harry.
Y'all have any questions?
I do. Dr. Shealy. Let me just preface my question before I get into it. When I saw this interpretive center and the management plan, I was quite excited about this. But I approached it from an education point of view, as an education tool, educational tool for our children. Given the need of the number of students that we're going to need to pursue these careers in the next 6 to 8 years, the more we expose our children to the environment and to STEM's area, the better stewards they are going to be of our environment. And certainly I was extremely excited about seeing classes in that area, kids looking at different species and diversity of plants found at this site. Again, I can't tell you how excited I was. But yet, when you read the paper and the comments coming in, people are concerned about protecting it. Let's preserve it as is. Let's do nothing to disturb what's there. And not realizing, I think, that sometimes doing some things, making some changes, can make it far better than what it is right now. And certainly you echoed that. My question to you, Dr. Shealy, is in regards to our children. Do you see it personally as a beneficial tool for our children and for classes? I've heard that classes are coming already. But do you see this facility being used even more based on your experience and what you know?
Personally, I think, Leslie, it will be a much better, I think it will be. And your question or your comment about don't do anything, I can assure you, since I took the lead on the management of Hitchcock Woods, I had to defend what we did many times. There were people that would call me and tell me they wanted baseball fields in Hitchcock Woods, and then there were people who would call me and tell me somebody moved a stick. And so, you know, you got both extremes of what people wanted in the woods, and I sort of liked it in a way because it showed ownership, you know, by the people of this town. But on the other hand, what you were talking about is what I call management by neglect. And if you don't do anything, you're really not going to have a forest that's worth even visiting. And so what we're proposing tonight to move forward on some management stuff is a very good, very good start. That, and along with this facility, which may attract, you know, may make it more attractive to bring kids down there, I think that would be a positive step.
I don't think we're exposing enough of our children to the environment.
I can assure you, from teaching them in college, we don't. You know, they have a fear of the woods. So, yes, ma'am. Anything else?
Thank you.
Is Dr. Shealy the appropriate one? Now, we can officially call this a Carolina Bay Wetlands, and that's okay to do that.
I tell you, Mr. Ebner, I just go by what the management plan called it, which was a Carolina Bay Nature Reserve.
Okay.
That's what's on public record.
And we do have stormwater going into it, piped into it. It's not run out. Okay.
Right. I'd like to just touch on the trips of the school-age kids again. Golly, I guess 15 years ago or so, and I've been on many trips with the kids. School kids have come down there and really had fun, and they've been taught. And we have three schools just right within walking, Millbrook and Kennedy and the high school. So I do think that we'll see more people coming down once we do what we say we want to do according to the management plan. And so I don't see any drop-off of people coming into the Carolina Bay area. Matter of fact, a week ago, just about I think to the day, I took a walk through there, walked all around, and I was the first one in, and by the time I made the loop around, there were at least 10 people that had come in and were walking. And I'll say this, one person was fishing, which I don't necessarily think is a good idea. we may have to think about that. It's not prohibited by any sign that's there now, but it may be that we want to do that. But he wasn't catching anything as far as I could see. But I think it's going to be a good thing. And personally, and I appreciate the work that went on to develop this management plan back in 2003, I guess it was. Harry, appreciate your help and all the others that worked on it.
Mr. Mayor, it seems like the management plan is pretty well favored with everybody. It seemed like the focus is what type of viewing area that we would have there. Because everybody says we need to clean the brush out and make it, you know, usable. And I guess the discussions I'd had, I didn't see the picture or didn't comprehend a roof over there. I looked at a flat deck area, you know, that would be low profile. You probably wouldn't even hardly notice it. But with when you get two layers of it and the tables and all, and I guess, you know, if that's what the council approved in 2003, that's what we need to do. But it is going to be a rather major structure sticking there.
And again, it's based on the structure that's at Tennessee Swamp that is used by these kind of groups. Also, it was specifically contained in the strategic plan the council approved last fall to go ahead and construct this center. So, again, we're just trying to follow what has worked in other natural areas.
So the covered building like this was always in the plan, and that's
yes.
what was agreed to yeah. in 2003, that's, and I think Dr. Seeley referred to it.
We had two different representations in 2003 when the list was being developed. You have the Tennessee Swamp structure and then kind of this classroom facility that was the cinder block with a campus to it. And again, those estimates were at $380,000. And basically for the cost, the estimated cost of the boardwalk, we can build this one center and we're done with construction there because it'll serve us well. And again, that's based on the consultations we've had not only with Aiken Land Conservancy, but the folks that have worked on Tennessee Swamp, folks that work with our national forests, state parks, and other locally owned park areas. We're trying to do this in a very responsible way. And it is something that the citizens voted to be built.
And last comment, there's not handicap to the working level, and I think you're going to have to do that. You got two levels here, and the ramp only goes to the lower level. All your work tables are second level, and I would think you would want that to be accessible also.
There's area to have a table on that first level. It's completely accessible.
Okay. I didn't think. Never mind, I won't go back.
Nobody agree with
me. Reggie, went back to your comment about the roof, and I think there were some. I know there were some other comments about the necessity, perhaps, of the roof. I notice on page 45, unless I'm missing something else somewhere else, it says it talks about the deck, and then it says it may be roofed. May be roofed. So it may be something we want to think about as we go forward. What is the real good reason to have a roof on it? Is it because of the sunlight, sun coming in, or is it because of the rain? Hopefully.
It would be the elements, sun and rain, and then as you'll see in the representation, there is a fan to allow for air circulation there. We were trying to look for a way to keep the mosquitoes to a minimum if we could, without having to spray for every group that was there.
I guess I question the roof as a necessity, or is it just something we want? Do we need, or do we want it?
It was recommended based on the conversations we had there.
Well, maybe roofed. I understand. I'm not arguing. I'm just saying, look at all sides of that thing. And if it's raining at the time, the kids are not going to be down there anyway. They could be down there, or the adults, whoever's down there on the deck. It could protect them if they get caught in the rain, certainly. But it is something else that's standing up higher, and I can see how, you know, that could bother some folks, having that there.
Mr. Mayor, I've got a question on the trails. I've been in there a couple of times, and the only trail I've ever covered was going around a pond. I didn't want to look anyplace else. I was too afraid of running into a snake. But you say you're going to mulch everything on the outside of the yellow line?
We're going to mulch the understory, right. Anything
by
9 inches
you mean destroy the underbrush?
No, we're going to mulch the undergrowth. There are some native plant material in there. We're not going to destroy that. We're going to set that apart. The other thing the woodsman is going to help us with is identify some natural areas there. Mm-hmm. So it won't be, you know, just this path. There'll be some areas that are set aside for natural habitat for wildlife.
What about the trails? How are you going to keep the trails open? Are you going to put pine straw on them? Or
we We haven't typically put pine straw down on the trails because the pine trees are there. We just kind of let it do its thing. There's actually two trails. There's a trail immediately around the rim of the Carolina Bay, but then there's a trail that kind of goes around and it branches off in a couple of different areas on the rest of the 24-acre tract. There's a trail over closer to Two Notch that's some distance from the Carolina Bay that actually goes around.
Any other comments? This was a presentation, so there's no voting one way or the other.
I have two comments. First, I want to thank you, Richard, for bringing us up to speed on this. There are three of us that weren't here in 2000, and I got calls and emails expressing concern, and I think no matter what we do, there'll be people who will have wanted something else. But as I read this agreement, as long as we are in contact with the Aiken Land Conservancy, they have the right to approve anything we do. I don't know whether we need to go back to them in 2011 after having gotten their approval in 2003, but
We'll certainly let them know the results of the public hearing tonight.
Sure. Yeah, and I think it's good, and I'm delighted that we hadn't so many people comment on it. So thank you. You did a great job in the presentation.
Thank you, sir.
Any other comments? Any other comments? Thank you very much, everyone that spoke, and everyone that was here just to listen. Thank you. Under old business, first item is appointments to boards and commissions, committees. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. You have 25 appointments that are pending at this time. We have five appointments that are presented for Council's consideration tonight. Council Member DeWar has recommended Al Snell be reappointed to the Park Commission. That term would expire December 1 of 2013. Council Member Ebner has recommended that Ronald Bellamora be reappointed to the Environmental and Energy Committee. That term would expire December 31, 2013. Mr. Ebner has also recommended Marion Nafee be reappointed to the Park Commission. That term would expire December 1, 2013. Council Member Wells has recommended Henry Craig be reappointed to the Community Development Committee. That term expires September 2, 2013. Mr. Wells has also recommended Craig Jarvis for reappointment to the General Aviation Commission. That term expires September 1, 2013. So for council consideration tonight is the approval of those five appointments: Park Commission, Environmental Energy Committee, Community Development Committee, and General Aviation Commission.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second for those?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. How about future nominations?
I've got a nomination.
Sure.
Ms. Sharon Brown for the Arts Commission.
Mm-hmm. And I have one for the Board of Zoning and Appeals, Larry Ogletree, who chairs that board currently.
Say that again, Leslie.
Larry Ogletree is the chair of the Board of Zoning Appeals.
Yeah, okay. Any others? I have one. John McMichael, I gave you a write-up on John to be on the Planning Commission. Bill Reynolds has decided that he has loved his job so much he wants to give somebody else another opportunity on December 1st. So I will have that spot open then, and so John's quite capable. For those of you who know him or don't know him, you can tell by his resume, and he's an Aiken boy, and Aiken High School, and he has co-chaired Aiken's Making now for a couple of years. Okay, that's it. No other nominations?
Mayor, did receive a communication from Council Member Price about Sue Ellis for the Aiken Barnwell Community Action Agencies Board. They have a city appointee, and the appointment is to be made by the elected official for the entity. And we heard from Councilmember Price, and I'm sorry, Ms. Price, I cannot locate that email. I just had.
Yeah, we were talking about them. I don't see it over here.
She is a former staffer for the Community Action Agency and is very anxious to serve. We could put that on. I've got it right here, Mayor. I'm sorry. We could put that on the agenda for a vote on the 28th. She's served on numerous community boards for a number of years. She would take the position that James Millage held on the Community Action Agency in the past.
Okay. No others.
One other matter, Mayor. We've heard from the director of the Aiken Downtown Development Association. They have requested, in the past we've had a council member that has served on their board. They meet once a month, and they've asked for a city council member to serve in that capacity.
This is an existing position?
It's an existing position that needs to be filled.
Who was on that?
Councilmember Wells served in the past, but of course with his business obligations, they meet at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and that was a conflict, unfortunately. So we would need to see if there was another council member interested.
Okay. Want to hold off on that, be thinking about it? Does anybody want to fill that?
I didn't hear the question.
It's the Aiken Downtown Development Association needs a council member to serve on their
board.
Yeah. It meets once a month. It's a 4 o'clock in the afternoon meeting on a Tuesday.
Okay. Why don't we just think about that? Maybe some.
Yeah, you probably want to also think about someone for arts.
Yeah.
Because I'll be leaving that.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
It meets on the first Tuesday of the month.
We'll bring that up next time. I'll have more detail on it where we can talk a little bit more about it. Okay, moving on to item 2. Second reading, public hearing of an ordinance to annex 0.6 acres of land on University Parkway on the north side of Aiken near SC Highway 19. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. The title of the ordinance is an ordinance to annex to the corporate limits of the city of Aiken certain property consisting of 0.6 acre of land, more or less, owned by Francis S. Whittle and to zone the same general business, GB. You heard this matter on October 24th. Planning Commission met and unanimously approved the annexation request on October 11, 2011. This is second reading and public hearing to approve the annexation of this land owned by Francis Whittle and for it to be zoned general business.
Thank you, sir. Excuse me. This is second reading public hearing of this ordinance. If anyone would like to speak about it, if not, it's back to City Council for consideration.
Mr. Mayor, I move we approve on second reading of public hearing the ordinance to annex 0.6 acres of land on University Parkway on the north side of Aiken near SC Highway 19.
Okay.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Any further discussion? Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. Passes unanimously. Item 3, second reading and public hearing, an ordinance to revise the solid waste ordinance. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. The ordinance has a very simple title, an ordinance to amend Chapter 32, Solid Waste, Article 1 of the Aiken City Code. We presented this back on the 24th with the reorganization of Public Works and dividing it into two departments, Engineering and Utilities and Public Services. It was time to update the city code to reflect that change in the city's organizational structure. Our city solicitor and staff attorney, Ben Moore, has worked with Tim Coakley, the director of public services, and also in cooperation with Larry Morris to make these changes. And this is second reading and public hearing for adoption of those changes to the city code to reflect the change in our operations.
Okay, thank you, sir. This is second reading public hearing. If anyone would like to speak on this issue, you may do so.
Debbie Nix, 808 Woodward. Is there going to be a solid waste charge added to our water bill?
The solid waste charge would be the garbage fee that you're already paying.
So it's already listed as that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. One quick question. Last year we had a sewer meter charge, and we talked about it, Richard, and that's now disappeared from our water bill. No one that's residential has a sewer meter. So I know you explained that to us, but all the residents think, I would think if I were a plumber or own a plumbing company, that we had sewer meters.
You have water meters, and we take the water usage to calculate the sewage fee. You've got a water and sewer utility, storm drains, recycled solid waste, and yard trash. Those are the services the city provides.
Right.
So the sewer fees, we try to take the lowest usage months, which were just, let's see, help me, Ms. Abney, is it December, January, February?
December.
February, March, and April. Right.
Right, but the people were charged for a sewer meter charge. They weren't charged for a water meter charge, and we didn't have sewer meters. So what I'm wondering, it was $9.03, which looks to me like you just rolled that over into our present bill because there's no mention of a sewer meter charge now. That's a good bit of money since the 60s, I believe, is when it started. But we don't have sewer meters. We've never had sewer meters.
Ms. Abney's going to come up and answer your question, Ms. Nix.
Debbie, what are you reading from?
No water bill.
Oh, okay.
Ms. Abney's be glad to provide that information.
As you stated, we don't have a sewer meter, but the way the rates are structured, we have a charge for the sewer meter, and then we have a charge for the sewer consumption. And at one point, I believe, it did show on your bill as sewer meter because that's the way it's in the computer.
But
there's
it's
a charge for the sewer meter charge, but it's not a sewer meter.
It's just the sewer.
You have one meter at your home, and it's for your water, and then we base the charge for your sewer on the size of your meter. So if you have a larger water meter, you pay more for your sewer rates as well. And then you pay for the consumption, which is, as you described, the winter quarter consumption. Mm-hmm.
The city of Aiken doesn't have a sewage treatment facility. We have a contractual arrangement with Horse Creek and the Aiken Public Service Authority to treat the raw sewage that the city generates.
Is there any way that the terminology could be changed to be more appropriate to what that is?
We could certainly take a look at it.
Rather than say sewer meter, because I could see, and I've never noticed that.
Yeah.
I guess it's on all of our water bills. But,
well, has it been changed already? Debbie, you said it appeared on your bill. It disappeared from your bill.
Oh, it disappeared. But our sewer fee increased by almost that amount. According to my bills, I have 4 different water bills with the city of Aiken.
We haven't authorized any sewer.
It's the same rate. It always, yeah. I mean, the rate is the same. We're billing her the same amount. It's just not detailed as sewer meter, sewer charge. But
it's a combined bill for the sewage expenses that we have. Right. We pay the county every month for sending all sewage to the treatment. So now they meter that, but that's the main meter, so they keep up. We've got at least 2 different sources of raw sewage that are metered by the county, and then we pay a monthly bill based on that.
But whenever we have a rate change, the sewer rate is just like the water rate, in that we have a charge based on the size of your water meter. And it's a base rate, but it is based on the size of your water meter. And then we have a consumption charge for sewer and for water.
And Ms. Dix, we'll be glad to give you that breakdown. Well, the thing we're trying to do tonight is update the city code, because we don't have a public works department per se anymore. We've divided that into engineering and utilities and public services. And these are just administrative clerical changes that we're making to the code on how we describe everything.
Right. When I read what you sent me, I was, because it mentioned a solid waste fee, and I thought they're going to, are they going to increase our water? But my concern is...
The solid waste fee, if I may, is just yard trash or garbage. That's what we call solid waste.
Okay. But my concern is the people were charged for something that didn't exist according to how you worded it on this bill for so many years, because there was never a sewer meter in anyone's yard. And we found this out when someone called us and asked us if they could help them locate their sewer meter. That's
well,
when we realized.
It's been that way for years.
Right.
It's been that way since
the 60s. And we have made a change.
Right.
It's not that we charged for something that somebody didn't have. It's that that's how we broke out this sewer rates, because
right.
That's a separate utility we have.
Right. But my contention is this, as a small business, is if I told someone that I was charging them for something, even if I had it cloaked some other way, and they actually thought they had a widget that produced that, that would be bad news for me.
Well, that's why we've updated the bill, to eliminate that confusion.
Yeah, you eliminated the charge.
No.
That's not what Ms. Abney just said.
I think.
Right.
You eliminated it off of the bill to where now the consumer can't see it.
What? I don't agree with that.
It's right here. It's gone.
What is this? What does it state on your bill, Debbie? Just
In January, it stated that it was a sewer meter charge, and it was $9.03. It's highlighted, so it's kind of hard to read there. But this bill, all it's got is water, sewer, residential garbage, and stormwater.
Right. The sewer fee is the sewer fee.
Right. This is kind of hard to read because we highlighted it.
The fee's still there. It's just not called a meter.
Right, but as far as the consumer's concerned, I think that...
Because a sewer rate that's based on water usage. You know, we know what our water usage is every day in the city, and then we get a report from the Aiken Public Service Authority that shows how much sewage we send to them for treatment.
I understand, but
right.
As a consumer and consumer law, I think that... That's not right. That it was even. I understand what you're saying, but for the consumer, they thought that they had a sewer meter that they were paying for.
We'll be glad to send an explanation in the bill. They don't. We don't have sewer meters.
They
don't. Used to treat sewage. We don't do that anymore. We entered into an agreement in 1977 with the Aiken Public Service Authority to send raw sewage to them, and they treat it. But we still have sewer flow fees. We have a sewer infrastructure. We have a sanitary sewer that we have to maintain.
Okay. Well,
that's part of our overhead for running that system.
The only thing is that after I started questioning it, then it disappeared totally off the bill. And I understand it was cloaked somewhere else, but the sewer...
I don't agree that we cloak anything, Ms. Nix. We charge for sewer.
But it disappeared.
Charge a sewer fee.
Yeah, but it disappeared off
of
the bill.
I tell you, maybe the best thing instead of holding up this discussion is for us, why don't you just come into my office and bring your bills with you, and I'll be glad to look at them with you, and we'll give you a full explanation.
Okay. I'm not here for just me. I'm here for the consumers of the city of Aiken.
I am, too. Well, we all are. Staff all is as well.
Thank you. Any other discussion? If not, it's back to City Council for consideration. Do we have a motion and second?
This is the second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to revise the solid waste ordinance. I move that we adopt this to modify the solid waste section of our city code.
Second. I'll second it. By any discussion? Show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Under new business, first reading of an ordinance to roll back the city real property tax millage rate. 66 mills to 62 mills. Mr. Pierce, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you very much. The title of an ordinance is an ordinance to amend the millage rate for the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2011. Council will recall that we did set the millage rate at 66 mills, and that was based on the property tax values that we had at that time. Aiken County has undertaken a reassessment of all the real estate in the county of Aiken, which includes real estate located within the city limits of Aiken. We have received a report from them regarding that reassessment. Of course, there has been publicity about the reassessment of our property in Aiken County. I believe you have till the end of the month to file an appeal on that. Based upon state law and based upon our approach to the budget, we have put in the budget the revenue we estimated from real estate taxation. And, of course, under state law, we can't realize a windfall because properties have been reassessed. And based on the revenue estimates for fiscal year 2011 and 12, Finance Department Director Abney and I have taken a look at this. We've looked at our practices in the past. The last time you adjusted the millage was in 2007. That's when we reduced the millage from 71 mills to 66 mills. And based on the reassessment of the real estate in the city limits of Aiken, our recommendation is that council approve lowering the millage rate from 66 mills to 62 mills. So that's consistent with practices in the past when we've had a reassessment of property in the city limits.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second for
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move that we approve the reduction of the mills from 66 to 62 mills.
This is good news, and I second the motion.
Are we open to comment?
Yes, sir. Sure.
I just want to make sure that you know, the 62 mills is the right number, because there are a lot of properties under appeal, and what if the appraisals go down? Do we stand a chance of actually undershooting our number instead of taking advantage of our windfall, like you said?
And I think that's a legitimate concern, and we certainly looked at that, took that in consideration. We also looked at our collection rates, understanding if property does go delinquent, it does go through tax sale, so there's a delay there. Mm-hmm. And we're just very comfortable. We did look at the possibility. You've got the memo from Kim Abney. We looked at the possibility of like 62.2 mills, but the difference was so slight. I mean, it was within, $20,000, $25,000. Okay. So we're just very comfortable with the 62 mills, and in the past we've worked on a whole number basis. And there's certainly a calculated risk to an extent, but we're very comfortable based on our experience in the past with reassessment of property in the county that will meet our revenue projections.
That sounds good.
I have a question on the first paragraph of Kim's memo. The last sentence, and I've never understood that, maybe we can educate me. The CPI increased 1.64% from 2009 to 2010, and our population increased 0.1% from 2009 to 2010. Therefore, our millage rate cap is 1.74%. What is that, and how does that affect our reduction from 66 mills to 62 mills?
That affects how we're able to adjust. That's if you go up, we're going down. We're reducing the millage rate.
Why?
Right.
But when in your computation...
I'm sorry about that. The 1.74% on the millage cap goes to the adjustment in the funds, because you can't... It's what I was going to in my preliminary remarks. When you do have a reassessment, you can't have a windfall as a result of that. You are allowed to adjust your millage, but there's a cap on how you can adjust the millage. So with the consumer price index and the population increases, our millage cap is you couldn't raise it more, the funds more than 1.74%.
And are we in effect raising it 1.74% and reducing it to make sure that we don't get extra revenue from the reassessment?
Well, we based our revenue projections on the 66 mills because that was the best information we had in June. We've got the reassessment figures now, so that's what triggers the millage, setting the millage. We can't have a windfall. If we have the 4 mills, if we kept it, except, well, that's fine, we'll just keep 66. We would exceed.
No, I understand that.
Right.
But what I'm asking is,
static.
Does that 1.74 factor at all on anything? I guess what I'm reading is that we could increase our millage 1.74%, based on the growth of CPI and population, and I can't think of anybody in Aiken who would agree with a 1.64% increase in CPI in the last year.
I imagine the chairs would be full.
That's the government.
Yeah, I imagine the chairs would be full.
Yeah, that's the government.
Again, we're trying to stick with our revenue projection. Our revenue projections and keep the revenue neutral, even though there's been this reassessment.
Okay, last chance.
All right.
I see us trying to do two things. I see us, on the one hand, trying to reduce the millage because of reassessment, so we don't end up with more money than we would otherwise. But I also see Kim telling us that based on CPI and population, that we could increase our millage rate 1.74%. I guess we don't do that increase of 1.74%.
We don't. You could, if you left it, you could realize a gain. But we don't do that. We said at 66 mills, we'll collect this amount of money. We've had the reassessment. So we're saying we don't want any gain. We just want the projected revenue.
I surrender. I'm not making my point. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
The whole idea is to keep the revenue neutral.
Well, that's not. That's not the only thing. That's not the only goal based on Kim's memo. It doesn't seem, but that's, I'm misreading it, I guess. Is that?
And again, I assure you that's the purpose of the memo, because we discussed
that. Is a purpose for discussing millage rollback tonight, yes.
Well, do you see another purpose?
Well, when would the 1.74% come in then? I mean, is that going
to
come in at budget time?
If we wanted to increase our revenue, that would be the cap. You couldn't realize any more revenue than that in adjusting your millage rate. But we're actually lowering the millage rate to keep our revenue constant, not increase.
Thank you.
Just for clarification, what this does is keep our taxes the same, but if we add the 1.74, it's a tax increase to all the citizens.
Right.
Yeah.
And they would be out in the hallway.
That's why you hear me saying revenue neutral, because we're not looking for any more money. We just want to get the money we said we were going to get.
Even with inflation much higher than 1.74.
Yeah, it was 3.3% last year.
Yes. So we shouldn't have put that 1.74% in this memo because it has no significant
effect. It just explains the cap we have to work on.
It's just giving a whole story here, I think.
All right, thank you. Right.
You could do if you wanted to.
All right.
Right.
Future, it gets to be important. If you raise taxes in the future, you have that option to raise it that much.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see.
Okay.
Did you have something?
No, I was just going to state.
Okay.
What one of you said already.
Somebody that we could if we wanted to.
Right.
We'll let you say it first time.
Well, we don't.
That's the point I was trying to make.
Okay. Very good. Okay. We've got a motion to second. Any other discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor. Okay. Passes unanimously. Item 2, first reading of an ordinance to approve a new contract with the Aiken County Public Service Authority. Here's
the title of the ordinance is an ordinance approving a wastewater capacity transfer agreement and wastewater services agreement between the City of Aiken, South Carolina, the City of North Augusta, South Carolina, and Aiken County, South Carolina, doing business as Aiken County Public Service Authority, authorizing the execution and delivery of the aforementioned agreements and other matters relating thereto. As we have shared with council throughout the last several months, we've been in a negotiation with Aiken County and their public service authority. In 1977, as I mentioned earlier, we had a written agreement with the public service authority to send raw sewage to them for them to treat that sewage. We noticed in some billings about 2 years ago, that we were being billed for some construction that the county did to serve various customers that were not part of the city's portion of the public service system. The previous city manager noted that objection and put the county on notice. It was during this discussion that we realized that the 1977 agreement had expired in 2007. So we were literally sending sewage to the Public Service Authority for treatment on a month-to-month basis. We've entered in negotiations to renew the agreement and have received the advice and services of Belton Ziegler, of Pope and Ziegler in Columbia, South Carolina. And the county has also used Eric Seidel of Columbia, so that we could work through the disputed amounts that we have withheld. We do have what we believe is an advisable work out of the past charges that we received. We also have the opportunity to purchase additional capacity of 2.250 million gallons per day. Larry Morris, who's our engineering and utilities director, has had an opportunity to sit in on these meetings. Kim Abney in our finance department has also sat in. Belton Ziegler was going to be here tonight, as I put in my memo. Unfortunately, he had a conflict that could not be here. To stay on track to try and get this agreement approved before the end of the year, which will help us with our finances, it also help it, as far as protecting future capacity for future development. I'm asking the council go ahead and approve this on first reading tonight. County Council is going to meet and review the proposed agreement in the interim, and we'd like to bring it back to you on December 14 and have Belton Ziegler here with a final form of the contract. This is the agreement in principle. We'll know after County Council meets what they've approved on their first reading. So for council consideration tonight on first reading is the approval of the contracts that we have provided.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second for approval on first reading?
So I move, Mr. Mayor, that we approve this contract with Aiken Public Service Authority to treat city sewage.
Second.
Okay. We have a second. Any discussion?
Yes. We had discussions in executive session. Can I ask questions now about that?
Sure.
One of the concerns I had is to be sure we weren't kicking the can down the road on these costs. And I know you were in those discussions, and I asked Mrs. Ziegler the same. Everything that we said in there, it's a good deal for the citizens of Aiken as well as the citizens of Aiken County and the public authority. My experience working with these public authorities is not very good in my history in the corporate world or even in private world. But does this thing read good to you as an individual, you know, our city attorney,
now,
Gary?
Just so we're clear, I have not doubled Mr. Ziegler's efforts.
No, but I mean, you read over the agreement. It seems fair.
I have not studied it like Mr. Ziegler has. What I would suggest, if you have some concerns about the agreement, that we go ahead and pass the agreement on first reading, let Mr. Ziegler come back for second reading.
He can address those on the 14th, and if you actually have questions, if you'll send them to me, I could push those along.
My question's a general question. Is it a good deal for the city? And I just wanted our city attorney could look at it, or he is representing us. So
Belton Ziegler represents the city of Aiken in these negotiations. We actually worked out a joint representation where he's representing North Augusta and Aiken.
He's our official representative too.
Oh yeah, he's got extensive experience in working with public service authority agreements, and actually specializes in the area. The firm's a bonding firm, but they also deal with these local public service districts. He felt it was a good agreement on several fronts. One, you're purchasing capacity at the 1977 price level.
Correct.
Two, you're getting additional capacity. So as we have development, you're going to have that sewer capacity. We've actually had some calls about various properties in the area. And once they really understand Aiken, then we get the follow-up question is, well, what are your sewer rates? What are your water rates? You know, what are the impact fees? And so by being able to purchase this additional capacity, the city doesn't have to build a sewage treatment plant. There's a savings there straight off the bat.
Yeah. He answered all my questions, and I just wanted to be sure there's not a gotcha somewhere showed up.
Well, there is a gotcha, because I said December 14, and Council Member Homoki reminded me December 12th will be the meeting in December.
Okay. Very good.
Sorry about
thank
that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other discussion? Show of hands then. All in favor on pass it on first reading? Set it up for second reading. Okay. We need to, if council agrees, go into executive session to discuss a contractual matter regarding economic development.
Mr. Mayor, if I could, please.
Yes.
I've had several discussions, and I know our traffic management ordinance has not been reviewed or updated since 2007. And if we could, I'd like to, sometime in the near future to get that on a council agenda, if we possibly could.
Sure.
To take a look at it.
All right.
Traffic management ordinance.
Yeah. Let me ask a question. Sure, certainly. Are there suggestions that we could put forward before we have it on our agenda that we all could look at, so that when we do get it on our agenda, it won't be like we are starting off from
The base one. We have the opportunity to think about what the thoughts are.
One thing that we have encountered here of recent is the traffic surveys are being requested even on a change of use on a piece of property. Let's say if we have a residential property that's zoned RS-12, RS-6, and you want to change the use of that property to a multi-use property. You could be talking about someone wanting to go in there and put 3 or 4 duplexes on that piece of property. You could be talking about someone wanting to go in and put a 300-unit apartment complex on that piece of property. But the change of zoning in that piece of property triggers a traffic study that has to be done prior to the zoning change on that piece of property. And I think that's getting the cart before the horse. I think the actual traffic study should come with the application for the project as opposed to coming when the zoning change is being requested.
Do I understand, Mr. Wells, as part of like the permit issuance process?
That's correct.
Okay. Well, there may be some other thoughts, too, that others have. If we're going to open it up and talk about the whole thing. All right. How about plan on that sometime in, I don't know what the agenda looks like in December.
No, I put this room on the agenda, and I'll get the date right, the 12th.
Are we going to have 2 meetings in December?
No.
Just one.
Hopefully.
We were going to ask at the next meeting if we could just have 1 meeting in December. It's like stay married, for example.
Okay, we need a motion and a second to go into executive session. I don't think
Mr.
we've
Mayor.
Done that. Okay. Okay, we've got unanimous. Okay. Need a motion and a second to come out of executive session.
So moved.
We have that motion and second. We did meet an executive session. Let's vote on that. I'm sorry. We need hands. Okay. Passes unanimously to come out of executive session. We did meet and talk about a contractual matter regarding economic development, and we made no decisions, of course, did not vote on anything. We just gathered information, and I'll be gathering some more information as time goes by. Okay?
That's all I have, thank you.
Okay. We are adjourned.
Good day.
Hey, who's going to win the next game?
Carolina or Clemson?
Do you have a dog?
No, I don't have a dog in the fight. This will be the game.